Kopech ready, as is Torres. The 2-2 pitch. Bouncer up the middle. Edmund spins, fires in time, and that's a win for LA. They hang on to take game 3, 4-2. They lead this World Series 3-0.
Dodgers Radio, Dodgers just killing it. Just a full, utter domination of the Yankees. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The score in the series, Pearl, is 3-0. And it just feels like the Yankees haven't even arrived or showed up in this World Series. They're bystanders. They're watching their World Series lives go down the tubes, and there's nothing they can do about it. The Dodgers are suffocating them right now.
Oh, I don't know about that. You think they're killing them?
Yes.
Oh, geez. I'm not seeing the same series then, because I don't see the Dodgers hitting the ball hard at all. I see them manufacturing runs, and the Yankees just are experts at leaving guys on base right now. The Dodgers are, first of all, you have a wounded Ohtani. I don't know why on earth he was out there last night. The Dodgers are doing all the little things right. They're little thinging the Yankees to death. They're definitely not like coming out as a powerful team and just hammering the Yankees. I mean, listen, 4-2, 4-2, both those games is like, that is not the Dodgers I know. Like, they're not having any displays of power or anything. The first game, yeah, they had the big home run. If you just pitch around Freddie Freeman, every game would be like 3-1.
Well, you can't pitch around Freddie Freeman. If you want to pitch around Freddie Freeman, then good luck to you, because guys have been producing in all spots of the order.
What are you talking about?
They're overcoming the fact that Shohei Ohtani, who might be the best hitter in baseball, the best baseball player we've seen in generations, is clearly banged up. He's got the shoulder issue. He hasn't even been the MVP. It's obviously been Freeman. Betts has been right there with him. And think about it. They're overcoming one of the great weapons that maybe, you know, compromised or definitely compromised, and they're still winning, and winning handedly. It's not 8-0, but that's not how it always works in the World Series.
So wait, there's been one extra inning game that the Yankees probably should have won in regulation.
And they
Yankees blew that. Then there's been 2-4-2 games. Like, this has been an incredibly narrow, low-scoring World Series. This is not, and the Dodgers don't have a great pitching staff. So this is just a gigantic blown opportunity by the Yankees. Like, they should be scoring more runs. That's very obvious, right? Like, that's going to be the story of this series. It's like, what happened to the Yankees' bats? Not like the Dodgers are overwhelming anybody. They're getting like some, they are doing a great job at the little things of manufacturing runs. They're definitely not overpowering anyone.
They are playing better baseball in every facet. In every facet. Their pitching is better. Their hitting is better. Their situational awareness is better. Their defense is better. Everything. And the Yankees are a good team, actually, and they're not playing like it. And that's because the Dodgers, in my opinion, keep applying pressure. And that's because I think the Dodgers now certainly have the mental edge over them, without a doubt. And I'd be surprised if the Yankees even won a game in this series. And it's funny to me because, and we'll get a little bit into the nitty-gritty about this just a tiny bit, it's quite a choice to have Gerrit Cole, somebody you've paid over $200 million to, Perloff. This is somebody who was signed the biggest free agent contract for a pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball, and he is not pitching tonight. You are going to Luis Gil in a bullpen game rather than going to Gerrit Cole on short rest because you're trying to keep him for game 5. That to me is ridiculous, but again, we can get into that. I think that there's a simple question, not a simple answer, and love to hear from people about it. Are the Dodgers winning this series, or are the Yankees blowing it?
And actually, could we be more specific? Is Aaron Judge blowing it?
He's been awful.
This is, when we talk about this series 10 years from now, there's a couple ways we might describe it. The one that the injured Freddie Freeman went off, or the time that Aaron Judge could not buy a hit.
Yeah, no, he is totally lost. I've seen a few analysts describe it as, I think Bobby Valentine said this on CBS, like a rocking chair. You're in front on the breaking pitches, you're behind on the fastballs. Like, he is so in between right now. This is a guy who's winning AL MVP.
And I know.
I know you would have a huge problem with it, because I know you hate it when someone wins a MVP for regular season.
And baseball's different.
Are bad in the postseason.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, baseball is totally different. Because baseball, the postseason is so unpredictable.
So this is not your Lamar Jackson.
No. Well, football, you think about it, the stats of every quarterback at the top are pretty much the same, so they just randomly pick an MVP. Baseball, Aaron Judge's season was so overwhelming statistically that. I mean, it's look at whatever his numbers. I saw the numbers flash. This is one of the great seasons in baseball history.
Yes.
Not just recent history, all-time history. And the fact that he cannot buy anything. He's not a threat at all to hit a home run. I mean, can you imagine? So we've had a 10-inning game, 4-2, 4-2. If Judge contributed anything, the Yankees would at least have won one, probably two.
Freddie Freeman has 3 home runs and 7 RBI in this series. That's the same as the entire New York Yankees team. I mean, it's just, they're killing them. And yeah, the score is not 10-0. It's not 8-0. We'll see what happens tonight because we might get the long goodbye tonight, or it might be Thursday. I don't know. Wednesday, pardon me. No, what's today? Tuesday. Yes, Wednesday. Who knows when the long goodbye is coming, but does anyone think this is going back to L.A.? No shot.
Not me.
Well, there's right, 2 more games.
It's 2-3-2.
Yeah.
It's not happening. And I think that there's a lot of different ways you can, like, quote unquote, dominate. And yeah, sometimes it's when it's 100-0 and the score is just totally out of reach, or 14-3 or whatever. But there's other ways you can dominate, which is you can outplay your opponent at every single facet. And they've done enough to do that. And I just don't know what the tide's going to turn. You know, is it going to be Judge finally getting a hold of one? And is that going to feed into the lineup? And, well, is that coming? I mean, I don't see it. I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the one thing I would say the Yankees gives them a little hope is the Dodgers bats really aren't doing much either. I mean, except for Freddie Freeman's 3 home runs, like, who's done a single thing here?
Well, Betts has been.
Betts has shot off single, like, over the second baseman's head. Obviously, Ohtani being done, I don't know why he's out there. Can you explain to me why he's out there?
Well, apparently he's got a partially separated shoulder.
Right.
The reason he's out there is because it's the World Series. That's the reason.
No, I know, but his swings look awful.
Well, he drew some walks, especially in the first inning. He drew a walk. And then Freddie Freeman homers, so you're up 2-0. That's why he's in the game, because they're not going to pitch. They're going to pitch to him, obviously, extremely carefully.
But now they should pitch to him right over the middle of the plate. That guy can't swing.
I was wearing a sling before the game.
I would not. I would throw a fastball right over the middle of the plate because he just looked. Every time he swung, you could see him grimace.
So apparently,
sorry for mentioning grimace in a Mets fan room.
It's all right. We're getting over it slowly but surely. But maybe we'll have the Hamburglar next year or something. We can work our way through these McDonald's people. But the thing is, apparently he's like wearing something on the shoulder at all times.
Showed up in a sling and played.
Yeah, 855-212-4227. Are the Dodgers winning the series or the Yankees blowing this series? Are the Dodgers dominating the series or the Yankees blowing the series? Because I just think they've got the Yankees just completely out of sorts. You've got, you know, Aaron Boone, even the manager of the Yankees, who obviously will have to live down the intentionally walking Mookie Betts to get to Freeman in game one, which set up the grand slam. That... maybe the team is just not mentally tough. And to be honest, nobody's ever really looked at this Yankee team and thought, wow, this is a really mentally tough team. I don't think that's not an adjective that you would use to describe this team. They're not gritty. Like, they're not, that's not who they are. They're front runners.
I totally understand what you're saying, but I would argue, just look at it from a money standpoint. You are paying millions of dollars for 3 of the biggest sluggers in recent MLB history, and you are getting no home runs.
Yeah, well, Stanton and Soto are holding their own.
In the playoffs, yeah. In the World Series. Like, you are, yeah, they would look good at coming into this, up until this round, like, okay, yeah, but they are just not getting production from the guys that they expected from.
Well,
so, and is that pressure? Is that not being mentally tough? Because there's no Aaron Boone decision to make when Aaron Judge is 1 for whatever. Like, he's right there in the middle of the lineup, and he's coming up in key spots and just not delivering again and again and again.
Can you win in the margins? You've done nothing to your starting lineup. Can you shuffle guys around a little bit? I mean, the season is about to end. Do something.
Somebody do something. Do something. If Stanton and Judge are not going to hit in this series, there's nothing to be done. You're not going to have Volpe or Verdugo save the day.
Well, Verdugo, you know, at least he homered last night to try to cut the lead. He did cut the lead 4-2. But yeah, you know, you're right about that. But the problem also is you have to try to win on the margins if you're not going to overwhelm a team like the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are very good.
You're the Yankees. You have the greatest lineup. Like, you don't win on the margins when you're this team.
Yeah, but you're also facing the Dodgers, and they have a great lineup. So yeah, you do have to win on the margins.
Not really hitting.
Well, you've got to be better with your bullpen. You've got to be better. Listen, it's not like the starting pitching has been amazing either. And to be honest, you've got to have a little bit, maybe more control and a little better communication, I guess. I know it happens in the moment, about what's going on with your coaches on the bases. Because, again, not to get too in the weeds, but who in their right mind thought it was a good idea to send Giancarlo Stanton, the human statue that is Giancarlo Stanton, when he's trying to run, trying to get home on a basically a line drive to center from second,
right to left.
Excuse me, it was from third. Second.
He came from second, and it was
Teoscar Hernandez. Pardon me.
It was a single to left, right?
Yes. Who would ever think that Giancarlo Stanton could beat that throw?
It took a perfect throw.
And it's the World Series. So maybe you were
so desperate for a run, you had to send him. I totally disagree with that. Like, you needed a run so badly.
Oh, my gosh, Proloff. You and I would beat Giancarlo Stanton. We'd look like Mr. Freeze compared to that guy.
95% of the time, the outfielder does not throw a perfect throw there. That's just the analytics say definitely go for that. Because most of the time, The throw is a little bit off. That was ideal.
So here's why this is wrong for both instances. One, Stanton is slow as dirt, slow as molasses, whatever.
Both work.
He's slow, and you're asking whether the throw's offline a little bit or online, you're asking him to slide, and the dude is made of glass. He looks like Adonis, but he is brittle. He is hurt all the time. That's been the whole thing about Stanton. So either he's out or he's going to be hurt. You need this. This is a reason why he sort of trots around the bases. You can't ask him to do something like that. A collision at home, Giancarlo Stanton, it might put him in a body bag.
Well, it's a World Series. You're not saving him for anything at that point. That was
he could be out for 2.5 years for that.
He's the only guy that can hit.
He's their best hitter. He's their only shot. I don't know. To me, the Dodgers are just winning this thing. I think they're winning it more than the Yankees are blowing it, but that was a terrible decision.
I feel so bad for the Yankees, young Yankees fans, because the losses, the last two, have been just slow burn losses, too. It's like, okay, we've settled the Dodgers' bats. Now it's our time to score, and it's just not happening.
Yeah, I mean, they were victimized, too. I hate to make it about the umpires, but last night was all over the road.
I did not understand the strike calls. Like, the strike and ball calls, I'm like, it was inconsistent at best.
You think?
Yeah.
Gleyber Torres has got two on, two out in the bottom of the seventh inning, and that ball was in New Jersey, and he didn't swing at it, rightfully so, and they punch him out? That was silly. Who is still thinking we need the human umps back? Like, do people understand if you go to the robotic umpire, the actual dude is still back there? Right? We get that, right? He's still actually calling the balls and strikes. It's just he's being told ball or strike in his ear because the machines are better at this than us. And even they would admit that, I'm sure. Let's do it. What are we waiting for?
I know we talked about this before, and I think it needs to be said at this point. If I was a Yankee fan, I'm not saying the Yankees should feel this, but if I was a Yankee fan, I would feel regret that we gave Aaron Judge the C. Because EJ. Aaron Judge is the captain, and when we think about past Yankee captains, it usually tied in with some postseason success, some level of, hey, when the chips are down, we can rely on this guy. This guy is 2024 Aaron Rodgers. Alex Rodriguez. I got the other A-Rod wrong. 2024 A-Rod. Like, he is just useless when you get to the postseason.
Wow.
And when you talk about being the captain, I mean, that's the whole team has to look at him. They're looking at him for leadership. They're looking at him to lead them through this series. He's giving them nothing. Like, I just feel like it's like watching, like, it's like Groundhog Day. Like, every year the Yankees season ends the same way with, you know, the last few years at least, with them looking at Aaron Judge as things get tough, say, all right, come on, let's go. Let's, you know, bring us out of this. And he's got nothing for him. How is he still the captain?
Still, EJ, the A-Rod comparison, that's
that
mean.
Is mean.
That is the meanest thing you could say about a Yankee.
Honestly, actually a little unfair to Alex Rodriguez, who actually did show up in the 2009 postseason.
Yeah. So. But still, it still feels mean, though, for some reason.
I felt bad even saying it, because Aaron Judge seems like an awesome dude compared to A-Rod.
Yeah,
awesome.
I know. Right.
Oh, well, I mean,
all the narratives around Aaron Judge are great.
Yeah, and like, he seems like a really nice guy. And it's kind of like, it's actually weird to watch the Yankees and feel bad for someone like on the Yankees, a superstar, Aaron Judge, because it's like, who feels bad for the Yankees? Who feels bad for, you know, a guy with 60 home runs? But you watch him, it's like, man.
Who are you rooting for? The evil empire?
I'm rooting for nobody in this series.
I mean, Judge is fine, right? Like, we don't know much about him, but he seems to do everything the right way. He just can't hit the ocean right now.
And yeah, I mean, I think you should mention the C in leadership, and you mentioned Aaron Boone in emotion. I'm not sure. I look at it more analytically. Like, sometimes batters just can't deliver or just go cold. Is there anything a manager
can... never been able to hit
the postseason. But I'm saying, like, is there anything you can say to him or do to him? There's, like, you're right, EJ. Like, there's just no way out of this for Yankees fans. You can't have him change his approach at this point of the season. I'm not sure what to do here.
Well, I think he needs to change his approach back to whatever it was. He's totally out of sorts.
Dodgers fans know all about this because of Clayton Kershaw, who was the pitching version of this, who did figure out a little bit toward the end. But that was super frustrating for us Dodger fans to have Kershaw.
Get out of here with that. 12 games for Aaron Judge in this postseason. He's got 6 hits to go with 20 strikeouts. That's batting
that
140.
Bad. 20, yeah. I didn't realize.
You're slugging 302. That's not going to get it done. Your on-base percentage. It's just your OPS is 580. I mean, it's bad every way you have it. So there you go. 2 home runs also for a guy who's got protection in the lineup and is an all-time home run hitter.
Man, did anybody see a sweep coming? This feels wild.
Yeah, you know, our very own Andrew Kaplan may have been onto something when he, and granted, Cap's a Red Sox fan, so he's delighting in this. But he may have been onto something when he said they played the Royals and the Guardians. And maybe we didn't get the full picture of just what it would be like when the Yankees actually played a very good team.
Right. And the Dodgers beat a very, very good Padres team. And I would argue a really good Mets team,
a gritty
too.
Mets team.
I mean,
the Yankees aren't gritty.
But the Yankees, still a sweep, Maggie? No. If anybody told me, this is going to be a sweep. And the Dodgers, to me, haven't even played that well. Like, we haven't even really seen their A game.
855-212-4227. So, EJ, can we throw the poll up at Maggie and Pearl on X, which is, are the Dodgers winning the series or the Yankees blowing it? Dodgers are up 3-0. All right, we also had a football game last night. Look at the Steelers. Got things to unpack from that game, to say the least. Final score didn't... There's more to the story.
Really? It feels like, I don't know, Mike Tomlin, they won by 8. That's a blowout in Mike Tomlin world. That's like 52-7. Yeah, that is, wow. We killed that team.
855-212-4227. Again, are the Dodgers winning the series or are the Yankees blowing it? You can weigh in, and we'll talk a little Steeler football next.
All right, sports fans. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game and it's yours to win. Here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of Shields, Guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Maggie causing trouble on the socials last night. Doesn't want to send Giancarlo Stanton because he's slow. Took a perfect throw. I mean, you need a run so desperately. You can't buy a run. You're leaving there third to definitely get stranded. Whatever. You might as well take a risk. I don't care how slow. He was running like me, by the way.
You would have beaten him home by a mile. Giancarlo Stanton
is the only
person who can hit for the Yankees right now, but that dude can't run.
I don't know if you could have done either because you have the most upright running style I've seen since Eric Dickerson. I don't know if you would have slid.
I run upright, I'm actually as tall as Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
I actually unfold to be 6'6".
I don't think Maggie or Perloff would have scored on that play, but the odds of it was Hernandez who threw the ball, right? Apparently, like, that was like the throw of his lifetime. Like, you have to pressure the defense in that situation. To me, if I'm a third base coach, I'm sending everybody all the time because most of the time the throw from the outfield is slightly erratic.
Well, most of the time. World Series, and these guys are professionals. I know that Teoscar Hernandez isn't known for having the strongest arm, but it was a hit to left. And he's coming from third. Like, I mean, it's like you're in right field and you've got to gun this thing down from across the diamond.
Well, it doesn't matter. No, because the same difference from...
But I thought it was shallower.
No, but it doesn't matter if it's left or right. The home plate is still equidistant
He had a good line on it, though.
Yeah, but it could have been from
right,
too.
Like, right where the catcher needs to set up.
Yeah.
Like, if you're actually coming from right, then the catcher has to move his entire body weight over to try to apply the tag. This was as easy as possible.
I was shocked that
he's out by 10, by 5 feet.
He was out by a millimeter, and the tag had to be perfect too. What do you mean 10 feet?
He was literally
2 inches. And the fact that the catcher was able to catch and apply the tag within a fraction of a second, the odds of that exchange happening are not great. Okay, in my opinion.
So this is the question for today. Are the Yankees blowing the World Series or are the Dodgers winning the World Series? You can weigh in. You can call us 855-212-4227. Kevin's in San Antonio. He's our pal with the breakfast tacos. Good morning, Kevin.
Oh, yes. Good morning, people. I just woke up and I heard y'all this morning. And I was like, what? The Yankees? Back in the day, the Yankees was the bomb. They had Reggie Jackson and so forth. Now the Yankees are, they can't even do a crossword puzzle. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow, I know they're being outfoxed in every single part of this World Series, Kevin. Never seen it heard it put that way. But no, you're right, Kevin. And you know, if we delivered this news to you, it was, you know, they're lifeless at the plate right now. You can't do a crossword puzzle.
The Yankees were the bomb back in the day, Reggie.
Yeah,
that's a long time ago.
77, 78.
Yeah. This,
now even Jeter and Posada are way back now, too, if you want to say them.
Like, EJ,
a long time ago.
EJ, you and I watched that 30 for 30 on the Yankees-Dodgers series from the 70s. And just this is the exact opposite. That was so dramatic and so fulfilling. Nothing about this series has been fulfilling. If it goes 4-0... I can't imagine what the TV executives are thinking.
Well, yeah, they're like, we got the matchup we wanted, and it's over.
Yeah, this is shaping up to be a disaster.
Well,
like, obviously, I mean, maybe it's kind of, you know, maybe Captain Obvious here, but...
Well, not for the Dodger fans. They're loving it.
No, wow. Dodgers have earned this. They've been the best team. I think that they've been sharpened by those earlier series where they got some game pressure, where the Yankees have essentially had no game pressure or no real pressure in those earlier series. But baseball, I think this was supposed to be a coronation of, like, we're back, baby. Like, here we are, prime time. This is we're one of the major
NFL
sports.
Who?
Yeah. And we'll see what they do with the ratings tomorrow. But I the fact that the series is real, I think it's going to be a sweep. I think the series is over. I feel bad for the sport because this is not what we wanted. Seeing Aaron Judge flailing away for 3 games. Like, that's not what happened.
There's a real concern for the sport. Your shining star's shoulders hanging off his arm. Like, is Shohei going to need surgery? And how long did you, when are you back from labrum surgery?
Yeah, partially dislocated shoulder. And, you know, it's the left one though, right? It's not his pitching shoulder.
Yeah, but first of all, who cares about pitching? Like, he might not be able to. He might be out all next year. I mean, I don't know. Labrum shoulder. Like, I'm just thinking of the football players. Like, that's a very severe
injury
for a hitter.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that injury. When they said he was going to play, I was a little stunned. I've dislocated my shoulder, torn my labrum, dislocated 3 times actually. So when they said he was going to play, I was a little surprised by that because anybody who knows anything about dislocations are once they happen once, it's more likely to happen.
Right.
And you really can't fix it unless you get surgery.
Okay, but here's the thing, guys. Like, I think being a little alarmist, number one, we don't, if it was really that bad, he's their $700 million player. There's no shot they're going to put him out there if they think he's going to be doing real damage. Second of all, it's the World Series. He could be out till the middle of next year. Who cares? Like, you bought him because you can win regular season game. Because the Dodgers, how many division titles have you won in a row?
It's November 1st. Like, middle of next year seems... I think he's definitely getting surgery. He said, I think I can avoid surgery. I do not think that's happening. I bet you he gets surgery, and I'll bet you he's out a huge chunk of next season.
Okay, but how much is winning this World... You got him for the next decade.
But he's
winning
not doing
this
anything.
World Series is important tone setter, table setter for the next decade of his life as a Dodger.
I hear you. It's just like that. Whatever we saw last night, that was hard to watch.
Oh, man. Andrew,
his swings were terrible. terrible. He would, like, kind of foul the ball off and then grab his shoulder. I was like, this guy's got to sit down.
Still walked him.
They ran into the dugout afterwards to get immediate medical treatment. Like, that's bad.
Andrew Kaplan's in the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, said they'll be fine. They'll sign Juan Soto.
Yeah, they're definitely getting Soto.
Thank you for that sobering reality.
I told you guys a month ago when the Mets and the Yankees were fighting over Soto, I said, that's if the Dodgers don't want him. But they get everybody.
seems that they do get everybody.
They don't feel like the evil empire, though, for some reason. I'm not totally sure why. I think these are nice guys.
Jeff Passan yesterday said that he says it is not going to happen. No.
Soto?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see.
Pat Boyle is here. Pat, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Big Yankee fan that you are. How you doing?
I'm not a big Yankee
you
fan.
You aren't.
You're a Cub fan, right?
That is correct.
Oh, you're a Cubs fan?
Yeah, I know. I'm a weirdo.
No, that's okay. You can have your teams.
But Pat, you're...
Cubs are one of the most historic franchises in Major League Baseball. It's not odd.
Yeah, the things you should identify me with, Knicks and Notre Dame.
Okay. I know you're a Browns fan.
Not anymore.
You gave it up.
Chiefs, correct. Right? Did you jump on the Chiefs?
No.
Oh, come on. That's not Samter. You.
that's your buddy Mike Samter.
Wait, what team did you... You were thinking about adapting another team. We talked about it on the show.
That's probably... I don't know.
Wait, so, Pat, you played high-level baseball. Would you have sent Giancarlo Stanton
Division
last three. Night?
I don't know how high-level that is.
Compared to us, you're Shohei. Would you have sent Stanton last night?
Would I have sent him?
Yeah.
Yes, because the team has not hit with runners in scoring position at all. And I know he runs like he's got a load in his pants.
You just said it, what we were all thinking.
Shoes. Yeah, we could have said that, too.
But still, it needed basically a perfect throw from Teoscar Hernandez to get him, and it was a perfect throw. The Yankees can't hit. They can't hit with runners in scoring position. So it's the World Series. If you think there is a time for Stanton to even run a little bit faster than he has, that would have been the moment. And he's just slow as molasses. And even then, it needed a perfect throw, and it was on the money.
And a perfect tag, too.
Yeah, so I don't blame it. If the Yankees had been hitting, that's one thing. But I know Chisholm, who's batting after him, was hitting a little bit lately. But even then, you needed runs.
I mean, the alternative is he just stands there at third base and the inning's over. Because there's no way they're getting a hit in that situation. And we all know it.
There was no way he was going to score in that situation. And also, if he had gotten hurt, then your offense is really over. Because he's your best guy right now by a power of 10.
When you say no way he was going to score, do you understand how close that play was?
Do you understand? I've been watching Giancarlo Stanton for the last 5 years.
90% chance he scores there.
He doesn't run.
Doesn't matter. I mean, like,
he
was still right there.
He's been kept out half a season because he can't run and he can't stand.
He still made it right to the plate, and they had a, I would say, slightly lucky throw and tag. And it's still by inches. I mean, how close was he to the plate?
It was... Like, where was he? He was right there.
I mean, there was some dust
there. It was
bang,
bang play.
Maybe 3 inches from the plate. So there's no way you could say no way. And also, too, it didn't matter. I mean, we're breaking down that play. The Yankees weren't going to manage to get 5 runs in that game anyway.
No, they're sunk. They're sunk. And that's why we're asking you today, are the Yankees blowing this series? Are the Dodgers winning it? Pat, what else happened in sports yesterday?
Yeah, so first football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code M&P and get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it is lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Well, elsewhere in this game, Freddie Freeman is reaching new levels of immortality once again.
A 1-2 offering from Schmidt. Freddie swings and belts the ball right field, hooking toward the corner. Hello, short porch, and hello, Freddie Freeman. For a third straight game in this World Series, 5 straight World Series games overall, Freddie Freeman goes deep.
Yep, Steven Nelson, Dodgers radio, the call. Freeman took Clark Schmidt's pitch, 355 into the short porch in right field. Put the Dodgers up first again for the third straight game. They never looked back. They beat the Yankees 4-2. It's a 3-0 lead in the World Series. They're 1 win away from title number 8, and they're 2nd in the last 5 years. Here's Freddie after the game.
There was points throughout the course of the season where I felt good, but it felt like it was a constant battle all season long with my swing. And it kind of happens like that. This game's hard. This is round ball and round bat and moving a lot of different ways and coming fast. So
Walker Buehler became the latest Dodgers starter to shut down the Yanks. 5 shutout, 2 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Yankees' lone swing of offense came from Alex Verdugo, a 2-run shot in the 9th. But you guys were saying it. The Stars struggled again. Soto and Judge combining to go 0-for-6 with 2 walks. I know you gave out his stats for the entire postseason, Maggie, but yeah. Judge in the World Series, 1-for-12, 7 Ks.
You know, Judge has been terrible, but I also think it's so indicative of where we are with baseball today. They're like, Walker Buehler, what a shutdown performance. 5 innings. Wow. You needed 6 other pitchers to get you to the finish line on this one.
I was actually...
This is not Sandy Koufax.
I was surprised Walker Buehler even got those 5 innings in. I felt like he was getting a little loose, too. They started hitting really hard before they took him out.
Him and Flaherty, who seemed like they were toast.
Yeah, I know. Those guys have not been good.
No.
He threw 76 pitches. Like, this is not Hercules here. And he did great. And I'm saying the Dodgers are winning the series, not the Yankees are blowing it, so I'm giving them praise. But, like, let's not pretend like this is one of the great pitching performances of all time.
I just say shut them down.
No, it's not you. It's like
I understand.
But the Yankees should get to that guy.
They don't make them like they used to.
But they don't. And the fact that Garrett Cole's not pitching tonight, I think, is ridiculous.
Yeah. Game four, the piece of metal, as Rob Manfred called it, it's on the line tonight. Luis Gil will try and keep the season alive. Bullpen game for the Dodgers. Monday Night Football, it was the Beanie Baby in the secondary with the ice pick.
Jones gets a snap, back to pass, looking left, and now looks back to the right, and it is thrown, and it is picked off by Beanie Bishop. Juggling interception by Beanie Bishop should finish this game for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And it did. Rob King, Steelers Radio, the undrafted free agent Beanie Bishop, tormenting New York quarterbacks again. He picked off Aaron Rodgers twice last week. He gets Daniel Jones on a horrible overthrow to seal the win for the Steelers. 26-18 the final over the Giants. Pittsburgh now 6-2, 2-0 with Russell Wilson. He went 20 of 28 for 278 yards and a touchdown. Head coach Mike Tomlin afterwards on Mr. Unlimited.
He didn't need to warm up to it, you know, a little less rust than the week before, but I'm not surprised by his capabilities.
Yeah, Calvin Austin, probably the real hero in this one, though. It was a 9-9 game in the third quarter when he ran a punt back 73 yards for the first touchdown of the game. Then he reeled in a 29-yard touchdown catch from Russ in the fourth quarter. Some stats on this one. Najee Harris had a 114 on the ground. In the loss for the Giants, rookie running back Tyrone Tracy ripped off a 45-yard touchdown run. He had 145 yards on the ground, and Malik Nabers had 71 receiving yards. Big Blue, now 2-6.
Oof. I saw maybe the second worst two-point conversion I've ever seen. I would not say it was as bad as the Colts one, but this was pretty close.
Well, the Jets, how about the Jets getting a delay game before going for a two-point conversion? I thought that's where you were
unfathomable.
Signaling, EJ.
That one is.
Nobody blocked. They tried to screen the Nabers, and was it Highsmith? Yeah. Literally hit him before he caught the ball.
Nobody knew the play had started. They were all standing around. No, and I don't even think the officials knew what to do or what to call. It was the most bizarre thing.
It is. It's incredible, and I understand football is hard, and offense is hard, and everybody being on the same page, knowing who to block, if linemen are pulling, who's going where, but. It is incredible the lack of production from some of these offenses on a week-to-week basis. The amount of penalties the Giants had last night.
The false starts. I mean, here's the question. Do you practice? That's what I would wonder, number
one. What are you doing?
Do you practice? And number two, this is what I don't understand about teams that are not good, right? And the Giants, I would say, are not a great team. They're also injured. All the things that could be going against you. So you're lining up for the two-point conversion. Why are you doing this funky... You know, formation. Just get 2 yards. How about that? And I understand the Steelers' defense is really good. I understand it's not that simple. But you're going to try this funky thing where guys are in bunches and groups all along the line of scrimmage, and they clearly don't know what to do.
Yeah,
so
you do that.
A little more vanilla.
Well, you do that because you don't think you can line up and just get 2 yards. That's the problem. They're not.
That's why you kick the extra point there, by the way. I know the analytics say, they should have gone for the extra point.
I agree with that, too.
Well, the other thing, too, but you keep saying the practicing, like, I don't know. I think the officials are just out of control with it. But there was very clearly a mistake on the touchdown was called back. But Malik Nabers, Troy Aikman called it out. He's like, dude, there's no illegal motion here. They took back a touchdown. That was
the
terrible.
Delay of game when it was really just at the between 1 and 0. Like, you do get a 1 Mississippi grace period there. You don't have to be so quick on the trigger.
But how about the roughing the punter? On the return by Austin.
They missed it.
So obvious.
By the way, God bless Troy Aikman, who actually finally called out not only the officials, but the officiating experts, who are the least effective broadcasters in the history of broadcasting, because they will agree with 100% of what happens on the field when it's even blatantly obvious. How many this week, I know there were 2 last night, touchdowns that were called back on holdings or illegal procedures.
2, I think, last night.
2 last night. I think there were at least 57 this week. Every time there's a touchdown, I'm just so sick of this. Like, whatever is going on with illegal procedure, get it fixed, NFL, because I can't handle Troy Aikman complaining about the calls every day. Like, this season is getting a little weary with
this.
Well,
they even said, we feel like it's been a lot on Monday night.
Yeah, but...
Like, specifically on Monday night.
You saw what happened to Brady. And by the way, Thursday nights had a million calls, too. It's every game. That's just because everyone's watching on Monday night. I think Troy doesn't understand every other game's like that, too.
Not in red zone.
Really quickly, some NBA highlights from last night. How about a 50-burger for Paolo Banchero? Career-high 50 points, one assist away from a triple-double. Magic beat the Pacers 119-115. Peyton Pritchard, another buzzer beater at the end of a quarter, and he finished with 28 off the bench. Celtics undefeated. They beat the Bucks 119-108. Cavs, they're undefeated. They beat our Knicks for most of us, 110-104. Darius Garland had 34 points. And Nikola Jokic, 40-point double-double. Nuggets get their first win. They beat the Raptors in OT, 127-125. The young second-year player for the Jazz, Taylor Hendricks, he's going to miss the rest of the season. Fractured fibula and dislocated ankle. We want to talk about some ugly injuries, gruesome injuries we've seen in the NFL. This one was right up there. He is done for the year.
Oh, man. That's sad. Pat, thank you so much. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do. More thoughts on that Steeler game. We have our poll question out there. Are the Yankees blowing the World Series or the Dodgers winning it? You can go vote at Maggie and Pearl. Okay, don't move. Maggie and Pearl. Welcome back. Just remember that there's a stadium named after Pitbull. I've forgotten about that. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Just a little update on something that we had talked about a couple weeks ago. How much do you leave a kid when their tooth falls out, the first one? Tooth finally fell out. My kid's five. I left him $2. Take that.
That's pathetic.
Oh, come on, Maggie.
He's 5 years old, guys. He's not comparing this stuff around the snack table at pre-K. He's just not. They're doing quarters, nickels, dimes, and pennies. I could have given him 10 pennies. He would have been more excited. $2 means nothing to him.
$2, Maggie?
I can always up it. I'm not going to start with 20. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know what $20, the difference between 20, 5, 1. Like, we're teaching him. He knows how to count. But he's not interested in money right now.
You can give him an IOU. Like, you need to up it, Maggie. Come on.
Got him a piggy bank, too. That's just a little update. There was a trade yesterday in the NFL. Sometimes I'm disappointed by the rest of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're the Patriots, and I get it, you're not going anywhere. You just have this big win over the Jets, but we know what this season is. Drake May's got a concussion now. You're rebuild mode, all that. But really, you're going to trade with the Chiefs. You're going to make them better. What are we doing? We're just strengthening the already best team in the NFL, the undefeated team, rich get richer. So Josh Uche, the pass rusher, who had one really great standout season, what was that, 2 years ago for the Patriots?
Yeah, then he was hurt last year, and now he's on a contract year.
Right, so you get him for a stretch run, and just like the DeAndre Hopkins trade that the Chiefs made a couple last week, you know he's going to come up with a big play. And it's going to be in a big game. And all of a sudden, here's going to be Uche screaming off the edge to either get Lamar or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or whoever else we think is C.J. Stroud. It's going to happen, Perloff. You can book it.
I hear you. I mean, I do think it's a little bit like March free agency. We tend to overrate these midseason trades. I saw this analytics on midseason wide receiver trades. About 75% of the time, they're total disasters, and we always think that this one's going to be the exception. So I do think a situational pass rusher might not have the value. Like, we see the sacks and all that. I'm not sure the NFL values that guy that much in this situation. So I'm not sure. Yeah, he fits perfectly with what they do. They need their Frank Clark type. But I'm not sure this is the game changer you're painting it as.
Well, listen, I just know at some point he's going to make a play, because what's more likely here? I asked this with DeAndre Hopkins last week, but what's more likely, that Josh Uche comes up with some big sack fumble, something big in a big game, or that he jumps off sides?
Well, yeah, but
I bet it's the sack fumble.
But
same thing with DeAndre Hopkins.
The point is, right, any players you put in there. So you're saying, why isn't the rest of the league, like, is the rest of the league going to trade for every player and make sure nobody's, you could put anybody in there and the Chiefs are going to make a play, right?
Yeah, that's why it bothers me.
So the rest of the league is supposed to trade for everyone, so there's no one available for the Chiefs?
Yes, everyone's supposed to be forming a blockade around the Chiefs. And I'm just, I don't know why I'm the person who's got to tell everybody this. And it makes all the rest of the teams look lazy. To be honest,
you're the host. By the way, you definitely were. If you could do this, remember you were all upset because they took Xavier Worthy and you guys got Keon Coleman?
By the way, season's not over yet.
But obviously, Keon Coleman looks a little better than Xavier Worthy.
Keon Coleman had a really big game, but the fact is Xavier Worthy will make a big play.
Yes, anybody in this. Yeah, so will Mecole Hardman. So will probably Sky Moore, who hasn't even caught a pass yet this year.
Exactly. So why does it have to be a rival that hands Xavier Worthy to a team that's most likely going to beat them in a big game? And here's the thing, not to be so down about it, but here's the thing. It's like you got Josh Uche for, was a six-round pick? DeAndre Hopkins for nothing. To me, it's like the Chiefs aren't setting back on their laurels. And this should be the example to the rest of the league. They've got two Super Bowl, the World Series, we're talking about the Yankees. Dodgers. They've got two Super Bowls back-to-back. They are the franchise of this decade. They are the dynasty. They've got the best quarterback. Their coach is a perfect marriage. Mm-hmm. Their defensive coordinator. All the things. And they still keep their foot on the gas. See, that to me is like, that's the lesson here, is that they're not satisfied. And that should wake up the rest of the league.
Oh, yeah, right. Because the other GMs are probably off in Mexico setting themselves. Everybody's trying to make a million trades right now. You think Howie Roseman is going
to
make...
Talk to the Cowboys about that.
I understand.
Talk to the Cowboy fans about that. Right. And I know Jerry's not in Mexico, but he might as well be in La La Land.
You said the rest of the league. Like, let's talk about the real teams. I mean, yeah, of course Jerry Jones is not going to do anything. I don't know what he's doing, but do you think that just because the Chiefs trade for the ghost of DeAndre Hopkins and Josh Uche, that's not exactly like the sea change I think you're painting it as. I mean, honestly, did you think when the Jets got Davante Adams that was going to be a major deal?
I actually did.
Yeah, of course.
Because
we all sold the bill of goods by
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, because we all overestimate these moves when the reality is if a guy's available for a six-round pick, there's usually a reason.
Okay, but you will acknowledge there's a little bit of a different track record between the Chiefs and the Jets. And
of course,
I miscalculated that because I thought Rodgers tipped the scales. But even their trade for Kadarius Toney, he ended up catching a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And that dude's a knucklehead.
Right, but he didn't really produce anything for them. And my point is, they could put anyone there. Take the Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman thing. Like, what, were the Bills going to draft every wide receiver in the entire draft just so the Chiefs couldn't get one? Like, at a certain point, if they didn't get Xavier Worthy, they would have gotten the next guy, and he would have been awesome, too.
They didn't have to trade with the Chiefs.
Why? What's the difference? They probably would. I think that was a smart move because you probably weakened the Chiefs. You took away their draft capital for a guy they might have gotten anyway.
For a borderline sixth rounder? That's not weakening the Chiefs. The other thing is...
Well, who won that trade?
Well, it's not over yet.
I mean, I think the Bills seem like they're ahead on that one.
We're week eight. Nothing is...
They got a draft pick out of that, didn't they?
A late round one. They got a second round pick out of Stephon Diggs. That was actually a trade that may be meaningful for them in the future. But no, this was marginal stuff. And by the way, we haven't seen yet what Xavier Worthy might do in a playoff game. So let's not grade that trade yet.
Do we know who called who with like the Patriots and Chiefs trade here?
Because Uche was out on the market, right?
If the Chiefs are the ones that called New England, you know you're not making the playoffs this year. Uche is on a contract year, so you're not re-signing him. Why wouldn't you just take the sixth?
Oh, no, I get it for the Patriots.
Like,
yeah.
Well, if other teams were also asking about him, then yeah, you'd rather him get traded there instead of the Chiefs. But if they're the only ones offering and they're the ones that called.
Right. No, you got to do it. I'm not saying that the Patriots, like, I kid a little bit. The Chiefs are not the Patriots' problem right now because the Patriots aren't a playoff team.
But the real question is why didn't the other contender, the Lions, make this move? That one I can understand. Like, that is a little bizarre because they lost Aiden Hutchinson, so you figure Uche, but I'm not sure Uche plays enough downs to replace that Aiden Hutchinson production.
So I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday, but Dan Campbell was at the podium getting real giddy, kind of teasing that they're going to bring someone in.
Oh, they have to.
He's literally jumping up and down.
But they're like, you know, what? Now if it's not Max Crosby, then who cares, right? Like, is there anybody else that has anywhere near that impact? We're talking about Aiden Hutchinson, who's probably going to be Defensive Player of the Year. So I don't know why he would be giddy. It feels like they're going to get a marginal player.
855-212-4227. Yep, Chiefs just got better. And even if it's just marginally, they're already the only undefeated team left and the back-to-back Super Bowl champs, and they're the Chiefs.
Yeah, they don't look right, though, right? Like, something's a little off.
And they're doing something about it. They're bringing in Hopkins. They're bringing in Uche. They're trying things. They're not winning by enough for you?
No, they definitely, like, even they look better against the Raiders, but just feels like their offense has to put in a lot of effort.
Coming up, the biggest thing we learned from last night about the Pittsburgh Steelers. We will reveal that to you next.